The Hard Shoulder with Ciara Kelly and Shane Coleman on News Talk.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
Yesterday, the International Olympic Committee announced that the women's category of Olympic sports will now be limited to biological females. This is from the Los Angeles Games in 2028. And IOC President Kirsty Coventry said that the policy was led by medical experts.
I understand that this is a very sensitive topic. As a former athlete, I passionately believe in the rights of all Olympians to take part in fair competition. The policy that we have announced is based on science, and it has been led by medical experts with the best interests of athletes at its heart. The scientific evidence is very clear. Male chromosomes give performance advantages in sports that rely on strength, power, or endurance. At the Olympic Games, even the smallest margins can be the difference between victory and defeat. So it's absolutely clear that it would not be fair for biological males to compete in the female category.
Sharon Davis, who previously won silver for Team GB at the 1980 Olympics and is also a member of the House of Lords and has campaigned on this issue, joins us now. Sharon, your reaction to this move?
I'm just obviously very, very pleased. You know, it's taken a long time to scrape back to fairness for women's sport. I mean, it was given away at the end of the 1990s when the IOC polled all their female athletes if they wanted sex screening to carry on. And over 80% said yes, please. And they stopped it all the same. So they basically didn't listen to their female athletes. So then we had quite a large number of DSD athletes, male DSD athletes compete. Over 60 were in track and field alone.
Would you mind, just for people who don't know what that means, just explaining very briefly?
Yeah, so that's differences of sexual development. So the one that we see a great deal in sport is one that's it's a male DSD. It only affects people that are biologically male. It's called 5-ARD, and it's where male genitalia is born internally. Obviously, when you just visually look at somebody, it looks maybe like they're a little girl, but actually are very much a little boy, and they go through male puberty and have exactly the same levels of testosterone and the same development that a male does. And that is the DSD that Caster Semenya had. So in the Olympic Games in Rio in 2016, the first three, all the medalists were biologically male. The first female was fourth and never got on the podium. And that was happening for quite a long time. And then in 2015, the IOC decided to allow anyone who wanted to identify, so any male that then identified as being female, to also being able to compete. And that's been going on now for 10 years. And that, again, was done without any consultation with female athletes and against all the known science. So yesterday, when Kirsty Coventry announced that they were making this decision based on, you know, on the science hasn't changed. It's not miraculously any different now than it was 10 years ago. There's always been a very big difference of performance between males and females. It's why we have two separate categories. If we didn't, women would win nothing. And at Olympic level, that's anywhere between 10 and 30%. And in sports like boxing, a female, a male will hit 160% harder onto a female body, which is less dense bone structure and less strong ligaments and tendons. So it's quite seriously dangerous.
Okay. And of course, we had quite a lot of boxing controversy in 2024. I mean, Khalif now will no longer be able to compete in the female category after this finding. Is that correct?
Yeah, and in fact, hasn't been able to anyway since post the Paris Olympics, because World Boxing brought in their own sex screening, as did track and field, as did, I think, downhill skiing as well. So there's quite a few sports that have brought in rules. And then swimming, for example, did. Cycling brought in rules.
Rugby, you know, there is quite a lot.
Yeah, lots of different sports have done their own thing, but it's really good that the IOC now have a blanket rule, because football, for example, FIFA do not, and there are a lot of DSD athletes, you know, sexual differences athletes, that are in the women's football game.
And Sharon, as you will recall from the time when, say, at the 2024 Olympics, the controversy around the boxing, there was a huge amount of people supporting the fact that Khalif was competing in the female category, huge amounts of argument and actually a huge amount of insults and vitriol online about anyone who pushed back against it.
Yeah, and that's been the problem. You know, it's been extremely difficult to be able to get the science out there or to get debate. It wasn't that long ago, if you made the comments that you wanted fair sport, you'd been removed from social media, you know, and all you were actually asking for was fair sport based on science and all of the results that we've ever had in competition ever. You know, to take a position that there's no biological difference is a ludicrous position. And of course, it's only women that we're losing out. You know, there is no trans-identifying females rushing into all the men's sports and stealing all their money and their prizes.
It's interesting you talk about that you would be cancelled on social media, and of course you would. Was it a very? I mean, you were always a strong proponent of women's sports being protected as a category for biological females. Was it a very lonely road? Was it a very difficult path to take at one point?
Yeah, I mean, it was obviously in the early days, particularly, and it very much affected my work. It still does. You know, what happens is the trans activists will ring every single job that I had, every event, every promotional event, every speaking engagement. They would just make it a living hell. And then they would verbally attack me online. They would threaten my children. I mean, you know, I've had death threats and my kids have had death threats. I mean, it is really quite serious. It's a very misogynistic movement. And when, you know, these men, because that's what they are told, no, you can't do this, they get very verbally violent. And it would be quite frightening, personally, you know, to be put in a room where we didn't have protection. And I know a lot of women's events, you know, where they've been out sort of marching and collecting, you know, they've had some very troubling episodes.
On this show, as entrepreneurs, we often talk about the courage it takes to start something from scratch. Every successful brand begins with a vision, a purpose, and someone willing to take a chance on an idea. And while every founder's journey is different, many share the same determination to overcome obstacles, innovate, and build something meaningful from the ground up. That's why I always enjoy hearing founder stories, because behind every product is a real person who has invested time, energy, and passion into building something meaningful. Walmart is helping customers discover products from thousands of small brands while giving founders opportunities to grow, reach new communities, and share the stories behind their businesses. By making it easier to discover these brands, Walmart helps connect customers with innovative products and the entrepreneurs whose passion, resilience, and creativity help bring them to market. So whether you're an entrepreneur yourself or a dream driver looking to be inspired, it's exciting to see more opportunities for small brands to be discovered. Visit walmart.com to learn more about the small brands and founder stories available in your community.
Okay. Do you have a view on what should happen to the medals over the last 10 years, say, that have been won by biological males in female sporting categories in the Olympics? You mentioned three biological males on the podium, yeah, and the fourth person being a biological female. Yeah. Do you have a view on that?
It's very difficult, isn't it? I mean, personally, I do think that the IOC should put their wrongs right, and it is their fault that they were in this position. It's their fault that those girls never got their moment, you know, in the sunshine. They'd trained for years and hours and given up a tremendous amount. I don't know if you remember Lindsay Sharp's interview, you know, when she was six and she would have been a bronze medalist at the Olympic Games. And that would have been very much the pinnacle of her sporting career. So I think it's the right thing to do, but they probably won't.
How did we arrive at the point where fairness in women's sports was sidelined, do you believe, in favour, yeah, of an ideology?
I know, and that's absolutely what happened. You know, it's the fairness for women to have sport that was on a level playing field was just removed, and an ideology, a feeling, was put in front of reality. And I think that happened at the end of the 1990s when the sex screening was removed. That's when it all started to go downhill, but it got very much worse in 2015, you know, and I think it was heartbreaking for me to see it, you know, having competed during the East German era, where for 20 years the IOC did nothing to stop East Germans being pumped full of testosterone and dominating women's sport through no fault of their own personally. You know, these poor girls had no, yeah, choice in this matter. But this was done, you know, a state-sponsored doping program. All those girls are extremely ill. Some of them have died. Many of them had disabled children. The IOC did nothing for 20 years. So their history of looking after female athletes is extremely poor.
Okay, and I suppose that's a very damning but very possibly accurate indictment of them. The people who would argue the but here, but what about inclusivity? Where do transgender athletes now compete? This is unfair on them. What would you say to that?
I would say they compete where they should compete, you know, with people that have the same bodies as them. You know, even if they believe that they're born in the wrong body, they still have that body to compete with. So if you are biologically male, you need to compete with other males. I think the way forward is a protected female category and then an open or inclusive category or a male category or whatever that they want to call it. I don't think men want to lose the title of their category, to be honest with you. So that's part of the problem. But in Paris, we saw, I think it was two trans-identifying females who identify as males and one non-binary female, all compete in the female category. And providing they're not taking illegal testosterone, no woman has a problem with how you want to identify or how you want to dress. You know, all they want is fair competition. So if women can do that, I really don't understand why men can't do it. And if we're really blunt, you know, brutally honest about it, the reason why it doesn't happen is because there's no advantage for them to stay in the male category, whereas there's quite a big advantage to go into the women's category.
Maybe lastly, Sharon, there are still sports where this ruling doesn't apply. And do you expect to see that change now that the body of evidence and indeed, I suspect the momentum is behind a movement in this direction throughout female sports? Do you expect to see other sports where this isn't the case currently change now as well?
I hope so. I mean, obviously, every Olympic sport is going to have to at the Olympics. And what I want to see happen is that this goes down through every level. You know, we can't possibly say that only elite females, 1% of all competing athletes, are entitled to have fair sport. And recreational and pathway, you know, and juniors, they're not entitled to it. You know, for starters, where do our elite athletes come from if they don't come through the pathway? And why? How can you possibly say you're only entitled to fair sport if you're a woman, if you're good enough? I mean, that is not okay. So this is about applying that rule to every level of sport.
Sharon Davis, thank you very much for joining us.
Thank you.
And I would love to know what you think out there about this change in ruling that the IOC have made so that you have to be biologically female on a sex test, on a genetic test, so you have an XX chromosome rather than an XY chromosome. Lots of you will remember in 2024, the Imane Khalif, the boxer, a huge, huge vitriolic debate online about Khalif, who is DSD, as Sharon Davies pointed out there, has a difference of sex. Being allowed to compete in the boxing against biological females, and loads of people weighing in, armchair geneticists saying absolutely right that she, you know, go. Aliyah Radker tweeted, "Go get 'em, girl!" at one stage in the furore afterwards. What do you think out there this evening about it? The WhatsApp is 087 1400 106. Loads of people texting already. Why don't trans people have their own Olympic category separate from male or female, says Jim and Bray. Steve says, I'm left wing. I don't see any issue with this. DSD people should compete against males, not be banned from sports completely. Steve, my understanding is that they can. They just have to compete if you are based on your chromosome sex. If you are biologically male, you compete against males. If you're biologically female now, you compete against females. And someone else says, I fully agree with this decision and about time it was made. Let us know what you think. I think obviously it's contentious. Is it less contentious than it used to be? This feels like it's becoming the established norm to me, but I would love to know what you think out there this evening.
The Hard Shoulder with Ciara Kelly and Shane Coleman.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric Range.
Weekdays at 4 on News Talk. Conversation that counts.